bring the court to order, please. Is there anyone that would like to volunteer to give our opening prayer this morning? Any volunteers? Here, Mayor, yes, please.
Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us together today. God, as always, we ask for your judgment, your guidance. We ask that you would give the commissioners the guidance that they need to make the decisions that are in the best interest of their constituents in this county. We ask that you would protect everyone as they travel back to their respective places. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you'll join me in our pledges to our United States and Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texans, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Let the record reflect that all members of court are present this morning. And commissioners, I've entertained a motion to approve our court agenda.
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, under proclamations and resolutions, we have Employee of the Month for January and February. Good morning.
Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioners.
Morning.
My name is Shannon Jackson, and I'm the Recognitions Coordinator for Montgomery County Employees Committee. And today we're presenting January and February's Employee of the Month, and they're each getting a $30 gift card to Pacific Yard House and one for Benihana's. So if Gloria Kessler could come up here.
Good morning,
Judge. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Well, I get to read my nomination finally.
Good.
It's been a long road on this one. Okay. So the person that I nominated is a male. This gentleman goes above and beyond at all times. I remember meeting him when the new sheriff was taking over, and he contacted me regarding a concern I had about the jail and the mental health care. This gentleman took my concern and started researching on how it could be improved. Within a couple of months, he formed a committee to vote on a new medical group in the jail. Now he is in charge of ensuring that the new group is taking care of the defendants. This gentleman takes many phone calls from me, even off the clock, to help me when there's a crisis in the jail, when an inmate needs their medications because of psychosis, and even helped a defendant put in a request to get an attorney assigned to them because the defendant was so young that he did not understand the process in the jail. This gentleman helps out when the judges have a concern about a defendant in the jail not receiving medications and will ensure that the situation is handled then, not later. This gentleman does not stop until the solution is found, even if it means he works after scheduled times to make sure that it's done. That, to me, is going above and beyond the call of duty, and that is why I would like Lieutenant Schumpe to be recognized as Employee of the Month.
You realize we allow you 30 minutes for a speech, right?
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Okay. Okay, I'd like to introduce Captain Malmay and Lieutenant Anderson now.
Morning.
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 We had a nomination. I didn't have the sheet with me. She works in our crime lab. Basically, she is our firearms examiner. She works countless hours within our crime lab, as well as travels to Houston once a week doing her daily task. We're going through accreditation in our crime lab now. She pretty much has spearheaded this through our organization. And at this point, we do have an accreditation as far as our blood stain. I mean, we're working on our blood stain. We have an accreditation for the firearms lab. So,
good.
So pretty much she pushes everybody. She rallies the troops behind her. Of course, we got a great staff in the crime lab. So she is a leader in that division.
Well, when you're working in an organization where all we have is rock stars, sometimes the recognitions for going above and beyond is almost expected, and it's not always recognized. But we're going to change that today.
That's awesome.
So we'd like to recognize Stephanie Lear.
Thank you so much. The day I don't wear makeup. Wow.
Congratulations. Well done. All right. Commissioners, under County Clerk, we need a motion to approve our minutes from our regular session dated February 13th, 2018.
Move.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Under Consent Agenda, Commissioners, the only item that I have to remove is on page 4, item 9C2A. And unless there are any other items you all, one of you would like to bring forward or would like to remove, I would entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda with that one change.
Judge, I need to defer 9, N, 4, 5, and 6. They're all regarding Precinct 3.
Okay. On page 8?
Page 8.
Okay. 9 N, 4, 5, and 6. So 9C2A to be removed and 9 N, 4, 5, and 6 to be deferred.
Correct. I move on that.
Any other changes, Commissioner?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, Commissioners, we have one citizen signed up to speak on item 11A, Mr. Rigby Owen.
Thank
you. Good morning.
Rigby Owen. I live on Lake Conroe. I've lived out there since 1989. And I'm up here to ask you to use some common sense on that lake. Unfortunately, the River Authority board doesn't have much of it. In 1994, dear friend of mine lived in the house at the dam site that controlled watching the water level, Remy Scarborough. And they all went deer hunting, let the lake get too high, and we got a foot of water in my house. For nearly 23 years after that, three hurricanes, Tropical Storm Allison, never got water. Hurricane Harvey comes through town, and somebody, not just on Lake Conroe, but Lake Rayburn, Lake Livingston, these areas, they decided, let's see how high we can let that water rise up here, because someone had the wild idea, well, if we let it just get up real high, we might can stop some of it from going downstream. I got 2 feet of water. I had many neighbors there. The general manager at Walden told me about 250 homes in Walden got water. $600,000 later, my house is back to normal, except for the yard right now and the fence. I lost $150,000 worth of automobiles. We were out of town. $55,000 roof damage. I fortunately had flood insurance. I've got two neighbors in million-dollar homes also. They didn't have flood insurance. If you've never been through a good flood, you don't know the devastating effect, and it's not just the effect of the physical damage. It's the mental anguish and the impact of having to live in it. I happen to live in an upside-down house, so the good stuff was upstairs. And when I'm telling you it cost $600,000, I'm going to tell you it's the by God truth. All that had to take place for years, Jim Adams and all of them, they would say, they can let that water out at a certain level. You know every year when the hurricane season is, it doesn't change. You don't know when a tornado's coming. You don't know when a hurricane, wildfire's coming. You don't know some of these natural disasters, but you know when hurricane season is. And what kind of genius does it take to realize, let's lower the level of that lake some to give a little, to be prepared in case we have a huge onslaught of water. That lake's not going to go dry. But do they do that? No, they decide, because I was serving on the board of a committee at the Groundwater District and made the statements, you know, we got water. Well, a guy on that, serving on the committee with me, I didn't know who he was at the time, but it turned out he works for the River Authority. I said, man, I can't believe it. I got 2 feet of water in my house. He pops up and says, well, that was at 106. He said, let me tell you something. We could have held it to 107. Well, it's a good thing we were sitting in a public meeting, because I had a little more words with him. I did catch him after the meeting. I said, what's wrong with you? Do you feel good? You can't control a lot of the flooding downstream. You can control all the flooding above the dam. Do you feel good that you're going to flood everybody? Does that make you feel good? Now, I'm one home. I'm 600,000 in one home. Do you know what it cost? The millions and millions of dollars of damage up there. And we're going to sit here and it just takes common sense to realize you need to lower the level of that lake some. You're not going to destroy all these businesses. You know, it's too often.
Mr. Owen, your time has expired. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Let me tell you.
But I've cut everybody else.
Throw me out of here. That's good.
But I've cut everybody else off.
That's fine. Throw me out of here. But use common sense. And what you got to remember is the common good.
Mr. Owen, thank you very much.
It's not political. It's not what party you belong to.
Mr. Owen, please.
It's the common good, Craig.
I understand.
Vote for the common good.
I understand, Mr. Owen, but your time has expired like everyone else.
That's fine. It's expired. My house expired a few months ago. So I will leave now. Or you can have them throw me out, whatever you want to do.
Mr. Owen,
but
your time has expired. Please.
Think about it.
Thank you.
I will.
Thank you for your comments. All right. That's the only individual we had signed up to speak on this particular item. You have to sign up to speak before you do on an agenda item. You can speak at the end of the meeting if you'd like to. We'll have a time at the end. Okay. Consider, discuss, and take appropriate action on a resolution opposing the lowering of Lake Conroe levels for flood mitigation. Commissioners, I'll read this resolution for you if you'd like. Whereas in 2012, a study by urban planners at Texas A&M demonstrated that lower lake levels have a negative impact on lake area economic activity and property values, and whereas according to the study, survey respondents reported negative experiences from lake levels 3 feet below average, and most marinas interviewed said boating and lake accessibility issues emerged at 2 feet below normal lake levels. And whereas the study found that residents in lakefront communities expected a 28% decline in residential property values, in which case losses in real estate value would amount to approximately $1.1 billion in the area. Whereas the study also determined that for each foot of lake level decline beyond the first 2 feet, retail trade revenue in the city of Montgomery decreased about $414,000 per square foot, or about $1.6 million per year per foot. Whereas some residents in the area of Kingwood have issued a plea for three, seeking forced reductions of 3 feet at Lake Conroe to accommodate water impoundment during times of heavy rainfall. And whereas peak flows during Hurricane Harvey from August 25th to 29th, 2017 in Lake Houston totaled 400,000 cubic feet per second. And whereas peak flows from Lake Conroe Dam totaled about 79,141 cubic feet per second during Hurricane Harvey between August 25th and 29th, or about 19.7% of the total flows into Lake Houston. And whereas six Montgomery County watersheds and streams or rivers feed into Lake Houston, whereas peak flow records show that dropping Lake Conroe's levels would have minimal impact on overall flows into Lake Houston while causing significant economic damage to Lake Conroe area communities and economic activity. And whereas the county already is working on other effective flood mitigation efforts to assist the county in area and areas like Kingwood. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Commissioners' Court of Montgomery County calls upon the Texas Legislature to oppose any efforts to force a permanent reduction in Lake Conroe lake levels for the purpose of flood mitigation. The Office of County Judge shall forward a copy of this resolution to each member of the Texas Legislature representing any portion of Montgomery County.
Judge, could you read that one more time?
No. You didn't memorize that?
Oh, no, no. I move.
You know, listen, we have a motion.
Yes.
I second.
A second. You know, I don't think lowering lake levels is a problem during a storm period, but to lower those lake levels permanently, I think, would be detrimental, obviously, to this community. It would be detrimental to our economy. It just doesn't make sense to me to do that. Now, certainly we'd be glad to work with SJRA and encourage them to lower lake levels if there's an impending storm. That's their call to make, but I think to do it permanently, commissioners, would be a bad move. So any other questions or comments?
I think we ought to try to come up with some kind of agreement, however we work this out, where during hurricane season we do look at doing something different besides just leaving it at the same level all the time. Maybe we look at doing something different during
but
hurricane
we can't
season.
Do that.
I know.
That's SJRA's decision to make.
I understand. But maybe we can work with SJRA.
It's a tough call. You know, I mean,
TCEQ. I mean, yeah, those are the folks that regulate the dam. Maybe that's who we need to be talking to.
We can
certainly have those conversations.
I think we need to have those conversations.
I just think, though, to permanently lower that lake would be a big mistake.
I agree. But during hurricane season and that type of thing, maybe there's something we
need
to do.
Well, plus SJRA told us in a meeting an earthen dam is constructed to be wet.
They were.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. If we lower it 3 feet, or if they did, we can't. If they lowered it 3 feet, and then we had a 2011 drought, that dam could be jeopardized, and I don't think that needs to happen.
I guess my concern is, are we telling them that we don't want to lower it during the flood time? I mean, we're saying we're against lowering the lake level.
No,
I mean, I understand the economic impact, but I've got people in East Montgomery County, that's where the water comes to, and I mean, we need that extra freeboard. We need some assurances, and I think passing this is the wrong, sending the wrong message.
I disagree. Commissioner, it says right here, it calls upon the Texas Legislature to oppose any effort to force a permanent reduction in Lake Conroe.
I don't agree with the permanent.
No,
whatsoever. But no. I think we need to look at different time periods, is what I'm saying.
And they make that call based on information they receive at the time. It's not something
right.
You can forecast or, I remember.
We need to
I
have a protocol
was,
in place, though, to know what we are expecting them to do.
I think when I came through, and it came straight through here, we got 2 inches of rain.
Right.
When that was it. I mean, it's hard to forecast, and they have to go by the state rules and regulations that they're set up under, and this is, I agree, I don't think a permanent 3 foot reduction is the answer, but.
You know, I think that two days before Hurricane Harvey made landfall, they were still predicting 10 to 12 inches over the lake. They could have accommodated that. They weren't anticipating the kind of rainfall that they got.
Yeah, it's a hard call to make.
And we are working with Harris County Flood Control. We're putting together an interlocal agreement to look at all of the watersheds in Lake Conroe that truly have an impact on our neighbors to the south. And that's why we're working with Harris County to try to mitigate some of the damage that the people in Kingwood get. We recognize that there's a challenge there, but there's multiple watersheds. Every single watershed that leaves Montgomery County goes straight to Lake Houston. Spring Creek, Lake Creek into the West Fork. The West Fork goes there, East Fork, Peach Creek, Caney Creek. Every one of them drains right to Lake Houston. So it's not just Lake Conroe that's the issue. So we need to look at all of that to try to help everyone in East County and in Harris County as well. But I think a permanent reduction would devastate the economy on that lake and be damaging to this county. So any other questions or comments?
Nope.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes 4-1. Okay, Sheriff. Morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Sheriff.
What a great start with the, to the year with our employee of the month for the first 2 months, so can't beat that. And I have to echo what Lieutenant Anderson said, rock stars among rock stars. I mean, those two are phenomenal and such an asset to the sheriff's office. But under 12A, we ask that you consider and approve advancing unallocated insurance proceeds with an estimated shortfall of $126,104 for the Conroe Tower site. Please name a funding source. We have the Motorola Tower project and the settlement listed below, as well as the shortfall. So this is a project that's been ongoing. Then it got whacked by Harvey, so that has left us with issues with our redundancy, and we have just got to get this done, and waiting on the insurance check is not a good option. We've worked with the county auditor's office, and she has helped us to identify the funding source, and so, Madam Auditor, if you could help me out with that part.
Sure. So we've been also working with the risk management department, and as the sheriff indicated, we haven't yet received all of the checks. We've received some of the funding, and until we receive the final funding, we have multiple levels of insurance, and so we don't know exactly what we're going to get. And as we work through all of that, there's an anticipated shortfall. We haven't actually received this $2 million, but they still need to move forward with this project. So what we'd like y'all to do is name a funding source for the entirety of the shortfall, and as those insurance proceeds come in, we would put them back into whatever that funding source is that you might name so they can move forward with this project.
We had anticipated using that capital improvement fund for that initially, right?
And we could use that.
I think that would be
certainly
a
viable
source.
Option for that. It is a capital project.
What do we have in contingency?
Five.
Contingency has about $1.5 million right now.
Well, we had it set aside in capital improvements.
And capital improvements has about $11.5 million.
That's what I agree. I think that's
one,
what
I mean. Sheriff, where do we end the final location for relocating this? Where's that at?
It's going to be some Johnson Development property. We actually deferred this item because of an issue with that property. We've gotten that rectified now, and we're ready to move forward.
They get all the surveys and appraisals done?
It's in progress. Okay. We're headed that direction. We have an agreement in place. The county attorney's office has been working with them. I see BD approaching to my right.
On the consent item, the end number 8 was approve a land lease agreement with Johnson, basically Johnson Development. That's the entity that holds the property at the Camp Strike property. Because we're still waiting on the appraisal in order to have the donation and some other matters with regard to that, this allows this is a temporary
lease.
Land lease,
okay.
Temporary ground lease,
okay.
So that when the sheriff needs to move this, he can move
that.
It. And then by the time the land lease would expire, we'll have the donation and get it all
good,
squared
good,
away.
Good, good.
So
good.
Thank you, Johnson Development.
Move capital improvement.
Second.
Other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Thank you for your work on this, Sheriff. I know
it's been a
not
long time.
Necessarily your it's not only for you.
For all law enforcement, and we do appreciate the support. We're certainly glad to move forward on this.
Did Hurricane Harvey, in the end, kind of with that insurance settlement, help us a little bit?
No, sir.
It didn't?
No, sir. We had anticipated the tower move, but we lost a lot of equipment that was part of that move. So we had to replace stuff that we were going to use, and
gotcha.
Yes, it depreciated, so we didn't get full replacement costs.
Okay.
So
thanks.
Harvey didn't help anybody.
Okay. No. Thank you. All right, purchasing. Spinall.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Morning.
Morning.
All right, I have on item 13A to take all appropriate action to approve the award for project number 1828, CSP for re-roof repairs and waterproofing for the Building Maintenance Department. I would like to award base proposal 1 for Olin Underwood Juvenile and base proposal 2 for Ed Chance Court Annex and base proposal number 5 for jail repairs to Lethman Roofing for a total amount of $782,709. Next, I'd like to award base proposal number 3, which is Salus Park Show Barn, and base proposal number 6, which is the Court Annex and Lee G. Allworth Building for a total amount of $188,848. And both of those should include unit prices as they need them.
Move.
And base proposal number 4 is rejected.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments, Commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Next, we're going to award project number 2017-0048. It's the RFP for the external assessment of the Sheriff's Office facilities. We would like to award that to HDR for the phase one of this approach of this project in the amount of $269,221,000.
What is this RFP for?
It's an assessment of the jail facilities for the sheriff's office. Phase one, they'll be looking at the jail and associated support facilities, the reallocation of current admin facilities, potential relocation of flood-related properties, Homeland Security Division office facilities, and satellite facilities for the jail division. Basically, it's to evaluate what the sheriff's office needs to do for the future going forward in regards to their facilities.
Move.
Second.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we now need to recess our commissioner's court and convene a public hearing. Which precinct is that, BD?
I believe it's precinct number one.
Precinct one, Commissioner.
This is, the public hearing is to approve the, is to get public comments on the partial revision of unrestricted reserves A and B in Sterling Acres Section 1. To be known as Sterling Acres Section 1 replat number 1. The purpose of this is to reallocate commercial reserve lines within the parent tract. There are two commercial reserves. They're moving the lines around. There is no property owner association. It's a commercial tract. The plat is not quite ready, so this is just a public hearing. No action will be needed on this.
Is there anyone here that would like to discuss this item this morning? I don't believe it is, Judge.
Okay. I'm taking the second one.
On the second public hearing under 14B is to receive public comments on the renewal of the designation of the Montgomery County Reinvestment Zone pursuant to Section 312.401 of the Texas Tax Code. The reinvestment zone is to work in coordination with the municipality's reinvestment zones. In order for the county to grant tax abatements or any tax abatement, the property must be in a reinvestment zone. Many of ours are in Conroe's reinvestment zone or others. This is the renewal of a designation I think the county initially passed in 1993, designating all areas outside of municipalities, in other words, all the unincorporated areas of Montgomery County, as a reinvestment zone. So it sunsets or has to be renewed every 5 years. It's coming up for renewal in March.
That would allow us to do TERS, abatements, whatever that comes to.
Yes, yes, tax abatements.
I move.
TERS.
Oh, anybody here to discuss this morning? I believe it is.
You need action on that item?
Yes, that's the next action item, 15A. So
okay.
You can recess the public hearing and go to 15A. Got
so it. We don't need to vote on this reinvestment zone on 14B?
We do.
Okay.
Okay, we now need to adjourn our public hearing, reconvene our commissioner's court, and take action on item 15A. consider take appropriate action on renewing the designation of Montgomery County Reinvestment Zone.
I move.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Human Resources.
Morning. Need 16A, consider and accept funds awarded to Human Resources in support of the Montgomery County, Texas Mother Friendly Worksite Designation Program and approve funding of items up to $4,850.
Move.
Second.
Any comments, commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Congratulations and good work on that, Dodie and Kathy. Your department.
Okay, building maintenance. Mr. Case.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
Consider and approve the reallocation of $32,375 from account 510-60006-7598 to another capital project line item to be determined. $17,375 for Constable 3 remodel and $15,000 to remodel the Edge Chance Annex.
Move.
Second.
Hence.
Commissioners, this is, if you remember during the budget hearings, the DPS provided a lot of additional deputies for South Montgomery County. As a matter of fact, they've doubled the number of deputies they have in the woodlands and surrounding areas. And this is just building out a small area that they had where they can have some desk in there and do some of the paperwork associated with the patrols and servicing they do for the area.
Anytime we have a DPS presence in a county office, that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
All right, any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay, we now need to recess our Commissioners Court for executive session under Article 551071 and 551074. Let's bring the court back to order, please. Commissioners, out of executive session, need a resolution and, or need a motion on a resolution in order to settle claim number U-17-0081 as set forth in the resolution.
Move.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Also need a motion, Commissioners, for a resolution in order to settle claim number A-17-0109 as set forth in the resolution.
Move.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Also need a motion to for a resolution in order to settle claim number 6442139 as set forth in the resolution.
Move.
Second.
Any questions or comments?
Aye.
All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. Need a motion to for a resolution in order to settle claim number D-16-0142 as set forth in the resolution.
Move.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. One more. Need a motion to approve a resolution in order to settle cause number 17-07-08282.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Now, citizens' comment. I'll just briefly read this statement I probably should have before. We'll now invite the public to address the court on any items not on today's agenda. Please state your name and topic of your comment before beginning your remarks. Public comment may not exceed 3 minutes. So first we have signed up today, Mayor Tarrant. Mayor, please.
Good morning. I'm Leah Tarrant. I'm the mayor in the city of Patton Village and Commissioner Jim Clark's precinct. I'm here today to talk about interlocal agreements and the desperate need for road repair. It's kind of come to my attention that interlocal agreements basically aren't worth the paper that they're written on. It's up to the commissioners whether they choose to honor those or not. So since Hurricane Harvey, Judge Doyle, you know we were devastated, and we've had one attempt at a road repair since that time, and in 6 months, I got an email this morning from the Texas Department of Emergency Management that our $500,000 from the 2016 floods are fixing to be deobligated because we can't get any kind of timeline from the county as to when our roads can be fixed. A $500,000, I get emotional, but it's a lot of money to us. And just the thought that we're going to be deobligated because we cannot give them any kind of answer. Commissioner Clark did come to me last night and say that we needed to get together and have a meeting. But I've made attempts and attempts. It's urgent. It's urgent now that we have to get together and have this meeting and this discussion, or we're going to lose our money. And that's from the 2016 floods. That has absolutely nothing to do with Harvey, where our roads were washed out 6 feet deep along Peach Creek. So this has nothing to do with those. This is everything that happened from the floods of 2016. So I'm here today. I want to ask, first of all, that all commissioners sit and look at interlocal agreements. And politics is a horribly ugly thing. I hate them. I just went through the through the process of running for office this past November. And people are ugly, they're hateful, they're spiteful, they're mean, they say things, they sit behind a computer and they think that they're king or queen. And it's hateful and it's hurtful. It's not only hurtful to the candidates that are running, that sacrifice hours and hours and hours to their constituents and their county. It's also really, really hurtful and scary for the employees that work under those people. They never know whether the new person coming in, if there's a new person, if they're going to have a job. I mean, you know, instead of running on, you know, past personal experiences or whatever it is, why can't people just run on the merits of their office, the things that they've accomplished? And I'm just really sick of it. I'm not here based on politics. I'm based here because I really, really need help in the people in my city. You can be mad at me all day long if you think that, you know, I support somebody else or don't support somebody else or support whatever. But my citizens deserve better. And so please take a look at interlocal agreements and understand that if it comes up and you're running for office and somebody could possibly take your seat or not take your seat, you need to give the people that you serve the ability to know that there's some kind of teeth in those agreements.
Ms. Tarrant, I'm sorry that your time has expired.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I would refer you to Commissioner Clark. Commissioner, can you visit with Ms. Tarrant, with Mayor?
I need it this
Tarrant.
Week.
Mayor, you've been able to pick up the phone, and communicating through social media is, you know, you could pick up the phone.
Emails to your office is not social media.
Okay. I appreciate it. I'll be in touch with you.
Okay, next we have John Wirtz.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
I'm John Wirtz, live in Precinct 2, and I'm the chair of GOP Precinct 69. Before I kind of cover my subject here, I have to admit, Judge, I was a little puzzled by your question to Sheriff Henderson. Did Hurricane Harvey help Montgomery County? Anyway, last Tuesday, the County Executive Committee, that's at least a quorum of the 96 chairs, precinct chairs, assembled during a special meeting at the request of a few of us who wanted to address the 242 flyover, for which no action has yet been made by this court to remove the tolls. My second to the resolution removing the tolls contained the following. The toll violates Republican Plank 211 of the GOP platform, which not only calls for no new toll roads, but removal once roads, bridges have been paid off, which is the case in the flyover. And that continuing to toll causes a double taxation. And that removal of tolls would allow Montgomery County to execute termination clause of the contract between the county and TxDOT. This would then allow for state matching funds to kick in for a third flyover, the state paying up to 80% of the project and Montgomery County only 20%, instead of the way it's constructed now, whereby Montgomery County would be stuck picking up 100%. I don't know who thought that this was a good idea, except the judge at the time and the commissioners who agreed to that. I suppose that way the donors to these commissioners would be rewarded with contracts, as I've shown here, over the last 4 years, and is on usvotesmart.com. Finally, removing the tolls would eventually save us, the taxpayers, over $9.5 million in costs and an additional $1 million in double taxation per year. The resolution to remove the tolls passed by an overwhelming 30-13 vote. I'd also like to protest the duplicity of this court's policy whereby you, Judge, who despite your calls for courtroom decorum, have allowed certain elected and non-elected officials to come in here and attack taxpayers without interruption from you. Constable David Hill, Missy Ringgold, and Judge Wayne Max of Judge Wayne Max's office and JP4 James Metz come to mind calling taxpayers liars. And then when queried about it, your seemingly elitist response was that you allow elected officials a certain amount of leeway, using your excuse of people attacking you though without citing any examples. It speaks volumes on the duplicity of your decorum policy. Thank you.
Next person we have is Eric Yalick.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. My name is Eric Yalick. I live in Precinct 3. Judge Doyle, in looking at how you've gotten away with massive tax and government spending increases over which you've presided, the citizens ask the question, how did you get away with it for so long? The clear answer is secrecy. It's not just that you've instructed employees to keep mum, that you've threatened department heads with losing their jobs if they provide information to the public, or the incredibly so-called long consent agendas you place before your colleagues. The way you run these meetings openly discourages discussion. If Commissioner Clark asks a question, you hiss at him. If a citizen other than the one you staged tries to speak, you cut them off or rudely interrupt them, as you did with Mr. Owen earlier today. You allow your political allies to say anything in this courtroom while your critics, such as Mrs. Russell, are threatened with the loss of their freedom. Your colleagues are generally afraid to conduct the open deliberations the Open Meetings Act contemplates and that are so sorely needed. During one meeting, we actually saw how well the Open Meetings Act works. Last year, the Commissioner's Court engaged in a lengthy discussion concerning the county auditor's arbitrary policies for reimbursing travel expenses. The discussion, actually by Commissioner Riley, was excellent because for some reason, all of you let your guards down and you spoke with each other in public like caring community leaders. That's how open government should work. The atmosphere of secrecy is what has caused the citizens to suffer with you as the county judge. Your office door is locked. You're rarely there to meet with constituents. You don't discuss county business with your colleagues in these meetings, and you place millions of dollars on the consent agendas, which basically suppress meaningful discussion. It's not just that you keep my mouth shut. The problem is that you suppress free discussion among your colleagues in open meetings. That, Judge Doyle, has translated to millions of dollars of wasteful spending because there are no eyes looking over your shoulder as you spend our tax dollars. That's why real taxes have gone up 133% in just the last 10 years, and spending is out of control because it's all cloaked in spending secrecy. The golden hammer goes to you today, Judge Doyle, for the secrecy that causes government waste. And I want to add one other thing. If you, Judge Doyle, you, Commissioner Riley, and you, Commissioner Clark, win next Tuesday, and I wish you all the very best in your futures, I look forward to working with all three of you for the next 4 years.
But that's all we had signed up to speak. I know, ma'am, you had a comment that you'd like to make. If you'd step to the podium at this time, please.
All very overwhelming. I didn't think I'd be able to speak today. I thought I'd sign my name and then speak next time. But to not take up all of your time, sounds like y'all have a lot of major problems you're dealing with. So I'm hoping I won't take the whole 3 minutes. I've dealt with a lot of people in the county, Phil Jones, Dennis Ward, Dan Wilds, Bill Smith, and B.D. Griffin. I don't know who he is, but I've talked with him on the phone. And my name's Dorothy Patterson. We live on a small road in New Caney called Pinebrook Drive. And the person that we're having problems with is a guy that came in and bought 4 lots on New Caney Creek, and it's listed in the floodway and the floodplain, and he felt like he could come in there and do whatever he wanted to. So on New Caney Creek, he cut in a 20-foot natural levee on a natural waterway, and he wasn't supposed to do that. With all of the people I've been dealing with in the county, they've been very helpful, and we've gotten a long ways. I know B.D. Griffin has a contract with Mr. Navarro to cease and desist on his activity on the property, and that's been done. But then I get an email from Dan Wilds stating that now they're going to help him get in compliance. Well, even if he wants to do something with that piece of property, and with everything he's done right now, and he's exceeded his limitations on field stuff that he can bring in, if he decides to put a mobile home on this property, he's still going to have to bring it up another 15 feet higher than what it's actually at this point. So I'm hoping that B.D. Griffin can go ahead and finish whatever he needs to from the county attorney standpoint and get this guy taken care of. He needs to put the floodway and the natural waterway back to its original grade, because This is a very small issue that can be handled now, and we've been dealing with this for 2 years. And when Harvey came through, we got flooded on the back end of our property because of the water coming back behind with what he's displaced on the four lots that he's been filling. So a $10,000 claim to just one small piece of a person in the county, I think that this needs to be rectified, and someone needs to step off the merry-go-round and get it stopped now before you have a really big issue that's going to affect probably 25 residents in our community. BD was supposed to be working on a contract with Navarro that was signed, and there was supposed to have been a study done to see what the floodwaters will do with what he's done on that property. And I'm hoping that I can still talk with Dan Wilds and still continue to move forward, but 2 years and such a small issue compared to what y'all are dealing with, this could be very easily handled in a lot less time than what you're dealing with. I appreciate y'all's time.
Ms. Patterson, thank you. BD, can you visit with Ms. Patterson later today after court?
Well, as long as the study's done, that's our whole point. We need the study done. And if he can't afford to do it, then y'all need to stop him.
Okay.
New Caney Colony.
Patterson, your time's expired, and I apologize. But
thank you.
And Dan Wilds is on the first floor as well, if you want to visit with him while you're here today.
I can do that.
Thank you for coming today. Anyone else that would like to address court on an item that was not on today's agenda? Yes, ma'am.
And this is really a question to you guys. I bought this property. It wasn't in the floodplain. It wasn't in the floodway. Now, I get my property tax statement. It's doubled. The property value, they now say, is $178,000. But then I get a FEMA letter saying, this is in a highly floodable area, and they're going to have to up my flood rate. So how do I go from being not in the floodplain, not in the floodway, and now I'm in a highly floodable area?
I would direct you to our county attorney's, or excuse me, our county engineer's office or the permits
They'll
office on the first
there.
Floor, and they can show you where those floodplain maps are.
Yes, and they said go to Mr. Riley, and I haven't done that yet. But my property didn't sink, so what happened?
Well, we can't address issues. This is just a public comment section, but Commissioner, could you
I'll
visit
get with her.
With,
hang around after court, and I'll get with you.
Ms. Myrick, if you could visit with Commissioner Riley after court, maybe
All
he can
right,
get you some
thank
help.
You.
Okay, anyone else that would like to address court? Okay, Commissioner, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move.
Any other comments? Just quickly, I had a real quick question. JD, you know, we heard talk about the meeting that was held, the executive session. I've had several of the precinct chairs that have said that they felt a little bit intimidated at that meeting. You know, they meet in this room. Can SWAG it video those meetings so they can be shown? Yeah, can we do that through SWAG it here?
Yeah. We need to look at the contract.
Just curious.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We need. Yeah.
Sorry. We have a motion and a second to adjourn our commissioner's court. Commissioners, before we leave, we got one other item. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Meeting is adjourned.